taking you to the other side of half past eight, Thursday morning. It's Radio Life and Style coming at you tireless and wireless. And if you have been one of the unfortunate residents on the Dolphin Coast who has been without electricity in the Salt Rock Sheffield part of town for the last, well, coming up on 4 days now, you will be no doubt anxious to hear any news of any developments in terms of how close things are to being restored on the electricity front. And with a special community update message right now, we have our local Ward 22 ward councillor Privy Muckin in the house in Radio Life and Style on a Thursday morning. Privy, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Mike, and good morning to the listeners of 88 FM. I've had better days, hey?
Well, you are obviously as affected as everyone in the ward, so this is, am I right, going on day four now without electricity?
That's correct. So, Mike, initially what had happened was there was a fault on the Eskom side on Monday at about 11 a.m., which affected a large part of the southern network, so multiple wards in Quadaguza on the south. But that was subsequently restored. And when that was restored, the Quadaguza Electricity Department then identified multiple secondary or consequential faults on another part of the network that specifically affected parts of Salt Rock and Sheffield.
Oh, my word. So it's kind of a knock-on effect scenario unfolding. And here we are now 4 days down the line, and from what you are able to discern, are things any closer to being resolved as far as returning electricity to the currently affected part of the region?
Mike, I do believe that they are much, much closer. So there's quite a small part of the ward that is still affected. So it's your gated communities like your Brettonwoods, Elalenis, Zululami, part of Melinda Lane, and a part of Fox Hill that are still affected. So I do believe, and this is from my most recent discussion with the electricity department before I came to studio, so they're very close to resolving it. But I think, Mike, we need to reflect on an incident like this or a crisis like this, because there's no doubt that local government has a mandate to provide electricity in a sustainable manner. I mean, the Constitution, I think it's Section 153, is very, very clear on the mandate of local government. But in addition to providing a sustainable level of service, they also have a mandate, and it's one of the cornerstones of our democracy, access to information and communication. And I think that's where the biggest disconnect for me has been.
So as far as keeping you as a ward councillor and your constituents who are directly affected in the loop and up to date with information to let them know where things are as far as troubleshooting goes, how far out we are from a reconnection, has that information been totally lacking?
So, Mike, I would say that it hasn't been seamless. There hasn't been a seamless flow of communication. So in the first 24 hours, certainly, and one of the things that I did highlight specifically on Monday night, and I'm not a technical person. I mean, you know me. I'm a community-orientated person, so I have no technical expertise whatsoever. But when it was reported from the control room or from the electricians that there was a damaged cable in the vicinity of the flag farm or the P228 road, you know, it doesn't take a technical expert to realize that the locality and accessibility of that cable, it's going to be impossible to identify where the fault is in the middle of the night. And my point at that time was, let's communicate, or local government communicate with the community and tell them that electricity is not going to be restored tonight. Take people into your confidence. And that didn't happen for at least the first 24 hours. Subsequent to that, I then was in a position to communicate directly with senior management, and the intervention of the mayor has been quite exceptional. So I must emphasize that. She has been quite exceptional in terms of how she's intervened and engaged the municipal manager and the heads of electricity to start providing credible feedback. So the information has been flowing since, but again, people are wanting technical feedback. They're wanting time frames. time frames are critical, because when you run a small business, or when you run any business, or you're a residential consumer, the loss, you simply can't quantify the loss of over the last 4 days.
Well, you were just telling me anecdotally on the sidelines that, you know, you've got people who've been giving you personal stories. You've got chronic medication, for example, that needs to be refrigerated, and that's spoiling, and that's being completely written off and lost. You've got, you know, obviously no hot water, no communication over Wi-Fi. Modern living grinds to a halt. If you don't have gas, you're not able to cook. These things add costs, and it's more than just the inconvenience factor. As you say, they are real tangible knocks that people's lives and livelihoods start to take. This fault, we often try to discern, is where in the electrical scheme of things is it lying. Sometimes something happens on an ESCOM side, and then sometimes it's happening on the municipal side. Looks like it's in the hands of the municipality as far as resolving it, right?
So this specific fault lies directly at the foot of Quadaguza. So it is on the Quadaguza network. But I think in addition to that, what must be emphasized is that there's no doubt that load shedding has a significant impact on the network. I mean, there was an item that came to council yesterday which quantified the amount of money that council has actually spent on operationally repairing the electricity infrastructure as a result of load shedding. And I think they quantified that to just over 21 million. Now, their operational budget was, I think, 27 million. So 21 million of that has gone to the repair of transformers, replacement of cables. So it's an issue that's been compounded by multiple other issues. But it goes back to my original point that when you have a crisis of this magnitude, there needs to be seamless communication. And that's failed. And like I was saying to you in an aside earlier, yesterday we did have a council meeting, and under the announcements, I did bring to the attention of the municipal manager that I wanted three things to unfold. So the first was the importance of formal communication being disseminated to communities during extended outages, the significance of the electricity business unit and the communications unit aligning, and that a formal apology needs to be issued to the affected communities to say this is exactly what has happened and this is what the mitigation measures we are going to be implementing. But Mike, I'm also in the process of formally requesting a detailed report from the head of electricity in order to be able to disseminate that to my community.
So obviously we'll be waiting with bated breath for the outcomes of those requests. In the interim, the picture right now as it stands, is there any indication of a potential timeline, or is there any portal that affected residents can turn to keep tabs on as far as getting fresh information and updates?
So Mike, from my side, certainly I've attempted to keep my community in the loop. So I send multiple audio notes as I get real-time information. I have a WhatsApp community link, which is actually a closed group, and there's also a Facebook, Ward 22 Facebook page. So I've got multiple social media platforms. I'm happy to share that with you so you can publicize it on the Life and Style pages as well.
Perfect.
So the community can get real-time information from me through that platform. But I do believe that there is light at the end of the tunnel. The electricians are on the ground working. Like I said, I met with them this morning before I came into studio, and they're very confident that services to the affected parts of the community will be restored during the course of today.
Wow. Well, look, the sooner the better. We're obviously holding thumbs for a rapid resolution to this serious issue. This is, it's not an exaggeration to call it a localized crisis. And we'll definitely need to unpack and debrief, this I'm sure is going to be a big point of examination and contention in the days and weeks to come. And the lessons that can be learned, the systems and that can hopefully be put in place, having come through this, will hopefully stand us in a better stead for what is coming down the line. We know this won't be the last outage, but Privy, thank you for coming in this morning and for doing your bit, your best, to try and get the word out, even though you're not an electrical engineer.
But if the community wants to crowdfund an electrical engineering qualification for me, by all means.
We'll start that Back a Buddy Fund.
There we go.
Thank you. Ward 22 Councillor Privy Makin giving you that community update right here on Radio Life and Style. And Privy will definitely be touching base again soon.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Mike, and cheers to the residents.